this part of the message, exactly right in line with what God's put on my heart. Everyone doing all right?
Yeah.
Amen. God bless you. It's good to be here. And it's just good to be here. Amen. Let's go to prayer. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that we can come here, and just this atmosphere in here is just so peaceful and restful. And we believe, Lord, that we have done this at your word, that you are now feel welcome, Lord, to come now and speak and to show yourself, to reveal yourself to us. And we know that, Father, you do this on an individual basis. You come to each one and you reveal yourself to us just as we have need of, and what we can take and what we are ready for at that time. And each one of us is going to leave here with something different, Lord Jesus. It's not a denominational approach where everyone learned this and everyone learned that. It's not a theology. It's not a seminary. But Lord Jesus, we are here to have you deal with us each one individually, Father. That's the whole purpose that you always have had, is to know us as an individual. So Lord, I ask that you would just come and meet the needs of each one here, Lord. Each one who hears this message as it spoke, that they will recognize your voice, that they will accept it. And if it brings a chastening, if it brings an encouragement, whatever it is, Lord Jesus, help us to recognize and accept it and walk humbly before you, Lord. I just ask that you would anoint me now for this, the purpose you have for me here. Help me to get out of the way, Lord, and you just speak what's on your heart, Lord. We'll accept it. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you would turn in Romans, we're going to read one verse there and be seated and go a couple different places. Romans, the 8th chapter. And we'll read verse 28. And we all know it by heart. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You may be seated. So all things work together for good to them that love God. First of all, people say all things work together. Yes, they do, for them that love God. Now, to love God, you have to know him, right? A lot of people think they know God. They don't know who God is. They do not know who Jesus Christ is. But they quote this and think that this is all going to work together good for me. Brother and sister, that's not true. That's not a promise for people who don't love God. And you can't love him correctly if you don't know him correctly. I mean, you might have a love for him. Brother Branham said people love and love God and still wrong and go to hell because they're loving their idea of who he is. And then it goes on to say, to them who are the called, that's the elected, according to his purpose. All right? And this morning we want to talk about purpose. I know I spoke on this several times in the past. Quite a long time ago, I think. But I want to I bring it from a different perspective. We want to talk about purpose. Everyone has a purpose. There is a word God gives for every age. And the believers of that age, their purpose, their overarching purpose, is to fulfill the word for that age. All right? So whatever God has spoken for us today, our purpose, our number one goal in life is to fulfill that purpose. All right? And now you can look at it a lot of different ways. There's a lot of different things we can see. But basically, brother and sister, our purpose right now is to serve God, just the blanket statement, to serve God by fulfilling the purpose he has in your life individually. Hang on a second. I'm thinking on something. I just got to take a note, make a note to myself. I'm right with you. All right. So look at your life and say, well, what is my purpose? Why am I here? What part of the body am I supposed to fulfill? Well, I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I support my family. I take care of my wife and kids. You say, is that my purpose? Is that your purpose? That is an extremely important purpose. It's incredible because, especially when you see what it is to raise kids these days. Oh my goodness, I'm glad I'm not a daddy. In one aspect, I love to be a dad. But in one aspect, it just terrifies me because you look around, look at all the influences that are on kids today, and look at all the influence on parents today. It's amazing. You know, the last several years, like when we went to war and on, the French were so against us, and we make a lot of fun of the French and all that kind of stuff. Isn't it amazing how it's turned around and now they're leading the war over ISIS against better than we are? Who's the big sissies now? I was reading an article about how French parents raise their kids as opposed to American parents. And you know what this woman was saying? She said, the French are going more the old-fashioned way, where the kid is not all about the kid. The kid has his place, but he doesn't run the household. Oh my goodness, the French got it better than we do. Who would have thought? The people I work with are wonderful people, but some of them, the way they're raising the kid, you know, well, you take your kid out to eat and they're just going to do this, whatever, the kid just run the show? It's not supposed to be that way. How's that kid going to learn to humble themselves to God's will if they don't humble them to your will? Purpose. You got to find it. You have to do it. You have to know that you're fulfilling God's purpose. Because see, God's purpose has to become your purpose. All right? Now let me just read this again. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So if you love God and you're the elect, you are going to come according to his purpose. So if you have a purpose in life that God gave you this purpose, you can know that you can stand against any opposition and fulfill that purpose because it's God's purpose for you. Now when Satan comes and says, you're doing this wrong or this ain't going to work out or your family's going to fall apart or you're going to hell, you can stand in his face and say, no, I am not, because I am fulfilling God's purpose and it's going to come out the way he wants it to be. You have nothing to worry about. Don't let Satan kick you around. Well, I just feel like I'm such a failure. How can you be a failure if you're fulfilling God's purpose? Well, God called me to do this, but it ain't working out. What? Well, you didn't expect the battle. Is that the problem? You thought, well, if I'm doing what God asked me to do, then everything's just going to go peachy. No, when you're in God's perfect will, that's when Satan's really going to come against you. That's when you can expect the fight, because now I'm fulfilling God's purpose for my life, and all of a sudden everything's falling apart. Well, then look back and say, am I on God's purpose? Is this what he wanted me to do? Yeah, he called me to do this. Well, then get out of my way, Satan. You're not going to stop me. I'm going through. God called me to be this. God called me to be a mother, and I'm going to raise my kids the best I can according to how he leads me to do it, under his leadership. Well, my kids grew up and they went off into the world. Okay. That was their choice. What are you going to do? Beat yourself down about it? Well, I made mistakes. Who hasn't? Who hasn't made mistakes? Everyone still makes their own choices. The world wants to, you know what, where I live, a lot of times the approach we take where I live, where I work, the approach the counselors take is, well, this kid was raised in this kind of home, so you really can't hold him accountable. It's not his fault. Well, let me tell you what, a kid who's been raised in an abusive home, horrible situation, he's going to have a lot harder life. A lot harder time living what we would call a good, normal life than a kid who's raised in a good home. But you know what? He's still accountable. He is still going to answer for it. On judgment day, when he comes up and to answer before God, God's not going to say, oh, you grew up in this really horrible home. You had these horrible parents. You had this happen to you and this happened. You know what? I can't send you to hell. It's just not fair. It ain't going to be that way, brother and sister. Everyone's got an opportunity. You have one shot at life, and you got to either make it good or make it bad, but you still choose. A kid who's been abused is going to be a lot harder on them? Yes, it is. But God's grace is still sufficient for every situation. And if you want to serve God, God allows you to serve him. He doesn't say, you know what, you've had such a hard time, you've got such a messed up life, I don't know if you can really serve me or not. I don't think you can ever overcome that. Don't limit God for yourself. Don't limit him for yourself. God, I've been struggling with this thing for years and years. I just don't know. What do you mean you don't know? What don't you know? Do you not know if God is powerful enough, if he is sufficient, if he can overcome that? Or what do you not know? Well, I don't know if you want me to overcome it. Oh, my goodness. That sounds like an excuse. Do you want to serve God? I do. Do you have to overcome it? I do. Then how can you doubt whether God wants you to overcome it or not? But here's the problem, okay? First, the number one problem is we still like it too much. It's still too much of a comfort. That's true. That hurts me. Let's be honest with ourselves. Why am I still struggling with these besetting sins? Because I still get a comfort out of them. It's true. You know what? I do not struggle with smoking. Never have. Never will. Didn't smoke back in the days. Don't smoke now. I do not struggle. Man, I sure would like a cigarette. I never have struggled with that. It's never been a comfort to me. For other people, it is. It can be a struggle. You might think, you know, you get down, you're nervous about something. Man, you know, cigarettes used to really calm me down. Now, I'm just speaking from, I don't know. I'm just saying, right? Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's your temper. Maybe it's your long tongue. Maybe it's your lying spirit. Maybe it's sexual lust. Who knows what it is, brother and sister, but when we struggle with things over time, it's because we still find a comfort in it. But if we can ever get away, get to a point where we totally surrender that to God and get away and look back and see how horrible that is. Oh my, then you're free, brother and sister. But you got to let it go. Got to let it go. I ran a race yesterday, Montgomery Bell. It's 15 miles. And very hilly. A lot of hills. And I was doing good, just cruising along. It was a blast, it really was. But about mile 15, I started suffering. And the last 2 miles was pretty much misery as far as my legs. They were just shot. Done. And I'd been going up and down hills, and up and down hills, and, you know, getting tired and tired. But by the time I got to about mile 13, I was pretty much ready to sit down. Now, if I'd have felt that way at mile 1, I would have sat down. I said, I'm done. I'm out of here. There ain't no way I can do 14 more of these. But it didn't. Because I was in good enough shape. I kept going and kept going. But the closer I got to the end, what happens is those hills started taking their toll. And I kept going and I kept running and I started passing people. People were walking. People were standing there with their hands on their knees like. People were walking up hills. I'd pass them going up the hills. But they all would keep going. And after a while, you'd see them start walking again. Then they'd run. But they kept going. And here's my point. The further I got towards the end, the harder it got. The closer I got to the end, the more I wanted to stop and sit down and say, this is too much. Why? Because the strain on me was having its effect. Now let's look at this. And I thought about this when I was running. I thought, look at this. This not just like our Christian walk. We have a race, we're running this race, and the closer we get to the end, oh my goodness, it just seems like one hill after another hill after another hill, and we get tireder and tireder. And you walk, you go past people who are standing there leaning against a tree. Are you going to quit? Oh, no, I sure don't feel good. Other people are walking, but they're going slow, but they're still going. But what happens, brother, sister? The closer you get to the end, the more you have to lose if you don't finish. And when I got to mile 13, if I would have sprained my ankle, I would have hopped in. I would have got down on my knees and crawled in. I was not going to. I had gone through 13 miles of hills and slippery rocks and roots and stream crossings and mud, and I was not going to stop now. I was going to finish my course. What had happened? I had physically, mentally, naturally, I had gotten tireder. I had run out of energy. I was beat down. But mentally, I had more determination than ever. Why? Because I accomplished too much to stop now. I'm getting that medal. I'm not getting up there to mile 14 and a half and sprain an ankle and fall down there and say, oh, I don't know if I can make it anymore. No, I'm going to be low crawling or do something. I'm going to cross the line. I might be the last one done, but I'm going to finish. If that's not how you feel right now, brother and sister, you've been up and down hills. You've been through everything in the world that Satan can throw at you. And here you are at the very end, and your faith is stronger than ever. There's nothing going to stop me now. I have a purpose, and that is to go in a rapture. And if you and everyone else wants to sit down by the side of the trail, I'm going to glow crawl, but I'm going to get across that finish line. Give me my medal. You're going through way. Can you imagine stopping now? Please. You have been literally through hell, brother and sister. Look at this. Look at the pain. Look how you feel. You say, well, this strain, shouldn't I be stronger? Look, Jesus was 30 years old. He looked 50. Physically, this battle tears you down. It tears you down physically. It tears you down in your body. It tears you down in your mind. It tears your emotions apart. And the older we get, the more we feel. Look, it's not just the natural world is tearing us down, but our spiritual battle is tearing us down, brother and sister. Now, who wants to quit now? What if you was, you know what, this is just too much, I'm out of here. And next week was the rapture. You talk about weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Man, that would be horrible. How do you know when his end is going to be? How do you know? I was running yesterday, and I couldn't keep. Usually when I'm running, I can keep track of how far I've gone by the time. Because I usually run on roads, and I know how fast I'm running. On those hills, I had no idea. And I thought I had about a mile to a mile and a half to go. And all of a sudden, I saw the finish line just up ahead. I said, oh, this is amazing. It was so much sooner than I expected it. And you know, I came around that last curve, and I could see there's a line. And at the finish line, there's like 100, 200 people up there cheering and howling for everyone coming in. That really helps you. I'm serious. It does something mentally. It gives you a surge. And it gives you something a little extra. Don't you ever discourage someone around here. You always encourage people. It matters. But as I came around, and as I said, there was up there, it was a hill. The last little bit was a hill. And you think, man, it's only like 100 yards. Surely you're going to sprint up the hill. No, I was running really slow up that hill. That's all I had left. But you couldn't have stopped me at that time. I mean, if 50 people, I would have been fighting through it all because I am that close and I'm getting my medal. I ran for the medal. There's a goal. So when all hell comes against you, brother and sister, you had to look at your purpose. What was your purpose for yesterday? My purpose was to run 15.1 miles and finish the course. Your purpose. Your overall purpose is to run that last little step and get a body change. And I promise you, I will never take this back. Once you get that body change, everything will have been worth it. Nothing will have been like, you know, I really like this new body, God, but my, tell you what, I sure had to work getting here. No, you won't. Nothing like that will enter your mind. Man, that's good. Now, I want to look into something a little bit here. I think to understand our purpose, it helps us to understand the Godhead. And so I want to look at this a little bit and see if we can tie this together. I'm going to read several scriptures. First of all, let's turn to 1 Timothy. I'm going to read three scriptures from 1 Timothy. Chapter 1. Now this is all in one letter to Timothy, right? Paul wrote this whole letter, and so these three different things, it's all in the same letter. Chapter 1 and verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Does that mean there's a foolish God? No, there's only one God, right? Only one God, only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. So he says he's eternal, he's immortal, and he's invisible. Now go to chapter 3. Verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now here he says, God was manifest in the flesh. Over here earlier he said God was invisible. Now if it's manifest in the flesh, flesh is visible. So now we have a problem. He must be talking about two gods. Because oh, he's either invisible or he's manifest in the flesh. How can it be both? Turn to chapter 6. Verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. So he's talking about the Lord Jesus is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. We all believe that? Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now wait a minute. He said he dwells in the light where we can't approach unto. We can't see. No one has ever seen or can see. No wonder they believe in three gods. It makes sense. Because you have this great light, which is a spirit, which is God, but then you have Jesus, who we can see. It sounds a bit confusing. I'm going to turn to one more place here. Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So here he's saying the firstborn, Jesus, he's the image of the invisible God. So God is invisible because he's a spirit, right? But now Jesus comes and he's the image, so we can see God in flesh. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Wait a minute. He's saying that all things were created by Jesus. How can that be? He didn't come to earth until thousands of years after creation. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So he was before all things. Well, we must have two or three different gods then. Maybe the Trinitarians are right.
And he is the head of the church, the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So now it pleased the Father in him should all fullness dwell, but he was before all things, but now the Father puts the fullness in him. How does this all make sense? How can you make the Godhead make sense, brother and sister, without making it a Trinity? I saw a book recently, well, not so recently. It said, it was called The Forgotten God, the Holy Ghost. Christian book. Christians believe this. And what they were saying in this book was that we spend so much time worshiping the Father and the Son, we ignore the Holy Ghost. It doesn't have as much equal rights in our salvation. We should make sure we pray to the Holy Ghost too and not ignore it. I mean, how would you like to be ignored if you were God? We think, it's kind of ridiculous. Yes, it is kind of ridiculous, but what is it? They have no idea who God is. If you went up to a Baptist and a Catholic and a message believer and say, who is Jesus Christ? Someone come up to you and ask you that, what would you say? Well, he was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived, he died on the cross, he came back. He rose the third day, and we'd all have the same thing to say about who Christ is? Really? Is that our understanding? We have the same understanding who Jesus is as the Baptists? Shouldn't be that way, brother and sister. Let's look at, let me do some illustration. I'm going to use water. Make a point. This cup of water, let me put this down. And just Brother Branham said, I don't have the quote for this. Brother Branham said, God at the very before time, before space, before there is darkness, before there is light, before there is an Adam, before there is anything, there was God, the great eternal spirit. But God had attributes within that spirit that he wanted to express. All right? So at some, there was not a point in time because there was no time. But whatever God decided to do, he said, okay, we're going to start with creation. Now this cup represents all time and space filled with the spirit of God. The water is representing the spirit. So what did he do? Brother Branham said, God sent off from himself the Logos. Just a part of himself that went out there. He said if you would have supernatural eyes, you could see it like a halo. And he went out there, and he was what? The Son of God. And he went out there, and he was the Word, and God poured a little bit of himself out. And that was the Logos. And that went out there and said, let there be, let there be, let there be. Now, was that a different God? It was the same God. And yet, in Genesis, it says, let us make man in our image. He's talking about this and this. And he made man in his image. You know what he did? Is it a different God? Is it a different spirit? Then what's the difference? It's purpose. The purpose is supposed to be fulfilled. He said, now he said to Adam and Eve, he said, they are one spirit. He said, now I want you to take dominion over the earth. And Brother Branham said that spirit would lead the beasts of the field and the fish the same way the Holy Spirit leads you. But then he said, there's no man to till the soil. So he took earth, he formed it into a body, he poured that spirit into that body. It was Adam and Eve walking in one body. A little bit later, he takes part of that body, he makes Eve, he breaks that spirit, and he puts the feminine in one and the masculine in the other. It's the same spirit. difference is the purpose is supposed to fulfill. Now, of course, we know that that man and that woman fell, and that eternal spirit, I believe. That's the spirit where no man can approach him. You've never seen it. But wait a minute. Down through time now, God would pour out a little spirit on a prophet. Pour out in this situation. And what was he doing? The whole time he was trying to get people, what was God's purpose? Is to get fellowship back with man. So he was revealing himself a little bit down through the prophets, down through the ages. A type of Christ. What is the Logos? It's the anointing. That's what it is. The understanding. Turn to John 17. John 17, verse 5, it says, Jesus is praying. He says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." So, brother and sister, he's saying, before the world was, I had glory with you. Now, if that's not two gods, what is it? There's Jesus. He didn't receive the name Jesus until he came in flesh. But that was still Jesus. He was the anointing that went out from God. He created. By all things, everything consists by him. He was the one who created. Is there two gods? Is this the same as this? Absolutely. What was the difference? The purpose he had to serve. He had to express himself. Look, this water has all kinds of attributes. I can drink it. I can wash with it. I can put out a fire. I can water a garden. God had all kinds of attributes. He wanted to be a creator. There he was, creating. Let there be. He was expressing his attribute, and that's how he determined to do it. He wanted to be a healer. He wanted to be a savior. He had to have mankind fall. He had to send Jesus Christ to redeem us. He was a redeemer. But what was it? He poured that into a human body that we call Jesus Christ. Was he a second God? Was he a second God in the Godhead? Of course not. It's the same God. It's one God. He just expressing himself, as Brother Brandon said, in a different office. A different office. It's a purpose he had because he wanted to fulfill these attributes. You know what I can do with this water? I can go up here and flick some in Will's face because he's so he don't get sleepy. He's not sleeping either way. But if I want to do that, I could do that. I could play a trick on Brother Paul and just pour it all on top of his head. He'd probably get upset. And God has all kinds of purposes, all kinds of attributes that he wants to display. You know what he wants to display? He wants to display being a child. Are you a child? Is he displaying himself through you? Amazing. Jesus came. He displayed what was, he had so many purposes. One of the things he was supposed to do was show us God looks like in flesh. So that when we see God in flesh, we recognize, oh, that's God in flesh. That's deity. That's Christ. That's Jesus Christ. So when someone asks, who's Jesus Christ? You can start with the historical. But to be real accurate, you're going to bring him right up today. Jesus Christ, if you want to be real accurate, he is the one who created everything as the Logos. He came down through time. He manifests himself through the body he called Jesus Christ. And now he's manifesting himself through his bride, Jesus Christ today, living through his bride. He's still changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So then what's our purpose? Our purpose, brother and sister, is to let that same Spirit, now we call it the Holy Ghost. Is it Jesus? Of course it is. I send a comfort to you. Behold, I'm coming to you. Yeah. It's the same one. It's the same Spirit. It's not a separate God. It's not, well, here's the Spirit of the Father. Here's the Spirit of the Son. It's all the same. There's not more than one God. But now He's living in you. If you're born again. And what's He trying to do? He's trying to help you fulfill the purpose that He has for you. You have just as much a purpose as Jesus did in that body. He said, I'm not as important. Well, we're not going to worship you. We're not going to pray to you. But when Jesus was standing there praying, who was He praying to? Father? Or the Holy Ghost? Or the Logos? It's all the same. Serving different purpose, different office. Now let me ask you this. When Jesus was here in that body that was crucified, did He know all things? The fullness of the Godhead dwelled in Him. It doesn't do that for us. No one says the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Brother Gene. And yet, it's the same Spirit. So does that mean you just take a part of this, take out some of the attributes? No, it's the same Spirit dwelling in flesh. Jesus said, I came from God, I go to God. Right? He knew where He was. Now, Jesus was there. He said, I do nothing except the Father shows me. So now, if that's the case, but He had the fullness dwelling in Him, how did He have the Father to show Him anything? He should have known everything. Well, that Spirit did. But that Spirit revealed to that man's mind what the purpose was for him, what he needed to do, what he needed to know, what was it doing. Jesus showing us an example of being subject to the Word. He said, well, if I had that same Spirit in me, shouldn't I know everything? Did Jesus? Not the man. What he went down to the woman, the Samaritan woman. He was sitting to Brother Branham and said, he started talking to her. What was he doing? Contacting her spirit to find out what was wrong with her. Well, this eternal Spirit wouldn't have had to do that. This eternal Spirit would have known right away what was wrong with her. But this is how God works in flesh. How He identifies Himself in flesh. This is God in flesh. And even though you have that same Spirit, you don't know everything. We don't know everything, and we don't know near as much of what Jesus did about God, and because we don't have that fullness. Because He was in a body that was sinless. But all God is trying to do is get us to a point where we surrender more and more and more of ourselves so that He can manifest more and more of Himself so we know more who He is. It's called growing. Manifesting your purpose for why you're here. You have gifts. Everyone has a gift. Or more than one gift. Some people might have one little one. Some people have tons of big ones. Some people are so talented. But the thing is, if you will surrender that gift to God, He can use it for His purpose. You gotta find out what your purpose is. What's your purpose in this church right here? Not out there doing your living and all, but just in the body here. How do you edify the body? Some of you might edify the body simply by making sure you're here. Some people, like Brother David, edify the body because he has a gift to worship. Flesh tends to annoy religious spirits. Long time ago, before David ever was born again, it's probably six or seven.
7 years ago. I don't know, way back. I don't even know if he was married. But Dave would get up and dance and shout and stuff like he does that. And one time, I was sitting there, and for whatever reason, David had sat beside me. Sorry, David. Come on, my heart to say it. And David had actually gone to the bathroom. It was after service where we were singing, and David had gone to the bathroom, and I just had this incredible desire to dance. And I was just about ready to, I couldn't hardly stay in my shoes. And about that, I was about ready to jump out in the hall and start dancing. And about that time, David came back and stood beside me. About 2 seconds, and boom, he was gone, and that spirit had left. What was it? That anointing to dance had got on me because David had left. He couldn't help it. If I'd have been in there, I'd have been dancing too. It's a gift. It's something that God put in there, and if he doesn't release that, he's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, there's not a lot of that around, which might be good. But what is your purpose? I can tell you what, if you're not here, you're not serving it. And I'll see. Well, Brother Phil, I miss a lot of church. I miss more church than anyone else, especially with the traveling I do. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you can be here, not if you're sick or hurt or something like that, that's completely different. But if you just decide not to show up for church because you're just not in the mood. Here a while back, I did something like that. I was actually traveling, and if I had rearranged some traveling schedules, I could have made it to church. And I decided, you know, I'm just not going to bother. I'm just going to skip church. God whooped me all week long after that. He said, don't you ever do that again. Finding your purpose. The Holy Spirit poured into you. That's all you're responsible for. That's what you're responsible for. Amen? I think I'm done. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I have to go back and read the rest of Colossians. Turn back to Colossians with me. Forgot all about this. Pick up where we left off. Colossians 1 and 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Having made just another thing. This is where it says he's poured out. Brandon used the word kenos, which means you pour out yourself into another vessel. And he said this was not God like taking an arm off and putting it there, but it's pouring himself. So just to make the point again, when he pours his spirit into you, it's himself. It's not just a part of him. All the attributes that are in here are going in you. That's why your nature changes. That's why your desire changes. Because now you have these desires in your heart instead of the old desires. That's how you know if you're born again. What do you really want to do from your heart? This doesn't mean what you want to do in your emotions. I was driving to church this morning and someone was driving who doesn't know how to drive. And I wanted to like drive by him and like, really? That was what my emotions wanted to do. My heart didn't want to do that. My heart wanted to say, you poor thing. No one taught you how to drive. So you say, well, if you feel like doing it, you might as well do it. That's ridiculous. If it's in your heart, you might as well do it, because if you don't, you're a hypocrite. But if it's in your heart, get born again and change the desire of your heart. But just because your emotions get all stirred up about something doesn't mean you go do that. That's Satan's trap for you. Best trap he has is get you stirred up in your emotions. He pours all of himself. Let's put it this way. All that's in him goes into you. It's not just a part of the Spirit. It's not just, well, I just have a different Holy Spirit. No, it's everything, all the attributes that are in here go into your heart. No wonder you start acting strange. And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be in things in earth or in heaven, And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Look at the purpose. Look why he came. Why did Jesus come? To reconcile himself with body. Because God, when he was back here just like this, he was lonely. Isn't that amazing? God was lonely. He wanted a family. He wanted fellowship. That's why we do so much better as fellowship, as a group. We get together. You get off by yourself sometime. Now, you have to get off by yourself sometime to pray or do whatever. But brother and sister, you, we do so much better as a group. There's so much more power. I was saying at the race yesterday, when I would run past people, and there are people on there cheering you, I promise you, when there is someone there cheering you, you just felt a surge. It's like, yes, come on, let's keep going. It really matters. And if you separate yourself from the body, Brother Branham said, you will get weak, you will die, you will wither away. No wonder Satan throws all those doctrines out there. You don't need to go to church. Because he knows the message better than those message believers. He knows that it said, when Brother Branham said, you will wither and die, he knows that he was talking about. The purpose. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Oh my goodness. His purpose for you was to make you holy, unreprovable, and unblameable. Now tell me what you can't overcome. Tell me what you cannot overcome. Tell me that's something greater than his purpose. How can Satan thwart his purpose in your life if you are his? It's impossible. Now you might fight it. You say, well, I've been trying to overcome. Brother and sister, if you're trying to overcome in your own flesh, you're going to fail. I promise you. But if you surrender to God, he takes away, your life becomes much easier. But if you try to surrender, but you're holding on to it because it's still a comfort, brother and sister, you're going to sprain your ankle on that race, or you're going to break a leg or something. You might hobble across the end zone. You're still going to hobble across. But if you don't give up to God, give everything to God, it's going to cost you in this life. Remember what he said, Brother Branham said about the sheep? He said if he keeps running away, he'll break that leg. Give up. Like I said last Thursday, Brother Branham said, I have the wrong thing in my heart, of my spirit. He said, I still hold this against the people. He said, I know my heart isn't right because I still think they should have listened to me. He said, I need to go out, but I can't go until God changes me. Well, brother and sister, it's the same with you and I. We can't go out there in our own, well, I'm going to change this. I'm going to quit doing this. Go ahead and try it. I'll tell you where you end up, right where I ended up. God was wrong. I'm trying so hard. You put that in God's hand and you leave it there by faith. Say, God, you promise me that I will be wholly unblameable, unreprovable in your sight. And then leave it there. Even when you stumble. Because God will let you stumble just to see if you go pick it up yourself again. Well, God's not taking care of this. I got to do it myself. If you continue in the faith, listen. He said, to present you wholly and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So, brother and sister, if you continue to move forward, if you continue to run the race, if you continue to put that purpose in front of you, say, God called me to do this. This is what I'm going to do. Nothing's going to stop me. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind it, the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Can I just read that again? And this time I want you to just recognize the role of the ministry. It's the role of everybody, but it's specifically the role of the ministry. This is what Paul's saying. He said, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind it, the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. We all get to do that. But your minister is going to lead the way. whereof I am made a minister according to this dispensation of Christ, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There he is, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's your hope. That's your encouragement. That's your faith. That's everything. Without that, you might as well go back to sacrifice and goats and sheep, because everything else doesn't have the same effect. That makes you a born-again Christian. Nothing else. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who's Jesus Christ? Not to be arrogant, but I am. The real Phil Bontrager. Because I came from God. Satan comes to me and says, you ain't gonna make it. Look at you. Just say, I came from God. I came from God. Big shot. Big dude, huh? No, that humbles me. Because my goodness, what does that mean? Look what God has done. Everything he's doing, all the way from that creation back there, he had you in his mind. You know how you know? It's the same mind. The same mind. It's the same. That spirit didn't get old. That spirit didn't get Alzheimer's and lose memory. That's the same eternal spirit it always has been, always will be. No man has seen it. You can't approach to it. But it's in you. Sealed in you. You can't lose it. Wow. That's exciting. Y'all doing all right? There's not three gods. There's not a trinity of gods. It's one God pouring himself out, kinos, pouring himself into you, the very same spirit. And in this age, he can come down into your soul and marry you. My. So different subject. That's part of your purpose, to be married to the Son of God, the Bride of Christ. Same life. To do what? To bring forth life, to bring forth children. Now you say, well, we got to bring forth kids. Not naturally. The same way as this pouring out was the Son of God, when it's pouring out of you, children to God. Make sense? No, I think I'm done. Let's stay. For those of you veterans, been walking this road, running this race, I should say, the thought of quitting now, is it just foreign to you? And yet you know in your own strength, you would never make it. You know physically, mentally, emotionally, you don't have the strength to keep going. You can look back at your life and see some of the things that you've gone through. You know, if God wasn't there giving you strength, there's no way you would have kept going. I know I'm that place. I completely ran out of my own strength of spirit and my own self. But God kept me going. And I know because of that, he's going to keep me going. And so do you. But it's still a battle of faith. You still have to, I know God's going to take me through. I'm just going to sit back and relax. No. You're going to keep going. When you run in a race, you go until it's over. If you don't, like what Paul said, if you continue in the faith. But because you are a believer, you are going to continue. And it comes down to, I thought I was done. It comes down to, brother, sister, that we overcome the love of the world through our love of God. That's ultimately how you're going to overcome. Because when you hate the things of the world, that you're really, really ready to surrender it because of you love God. That's when you finally get rid of those things. It's all a love story. Has always been a love story.
So all he's looking for is a heart that will love him. And if you love him, you believe him, you have confidence in him. God, you said you'd take care of this. You put this on my heart to do. You asked me to do this. Then I know you're going to take me through. Give me the strength. Give me whatever I need to accomplish this mission. I'm going to make it. And during this time, he sends the word and it cuts off all other junk. The word of God is a sharp sword. And anything that we have attached to it, our love of the world, our idols, through this walk, you're going to lose it all. I lost weight yesterday running that race. Because you lose all the excess that you don't need. I'm sorry, we got to quit. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father, that you would come this morning and speak to us and anoint us to speak and to hear the word, Lord. I just ask that this word that was spoken, that it would go into someone's heart and just give them encouragement. Let it be anchored as faith, Lord, and to bring forth life, Lord. Help us then, Lord, just to always keep in mind that you have a reason for us, a purpose for us. And Lord, you will anoint us to fulfill that purpose until we finish this race, Lord. We believe we're right at the end. We can see it happening all around us, the end time signs, Lord. And help us just to remain faithful just a little bit longer, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. Brother Nate, would you come up? Brother Branham said, the life coming into the body is evidence that the rapture is at hand. So when we see Jesus Christ living in flesh, the more we see, that means we're just that much closer to the rapture. How much more does it take? I don't know. Can you see Christ in flesh? I can. Do you see that life living? Yep. How much more? That's up to him. But brother and sister, we are close. I mentioned a minute ago, some of you veterans, you've made your decisions, you're going on. Some of you who are younger, maybe you haven't. Maybe you don't know for sure. You got to make your choice. Everyone has to choose. Amen. Of course, I recommend Christ because you get to go to heaven. If you rather enjoy the things of the world for a season, make your choice. Live it up. It's fun for a short time. Misery, too. Oh, it's miserable. My goodness, it's miserable. Fun is miserable. But then you get to go to hell. So, your choice. Amen.